Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, March the 18th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we begin year B, and this is Palm Sunday coming up. So it's called Liturgy of the Palms Sunday. And on the Monday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the Old Testament passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. And we had plenty to choose from, so I picked one that I kind of like. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. Let me read that passage, write a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I've not turned away. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I'll not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will be bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment. The moths will eat them up. This is the word of God for us. So one of the governing tasks of the lectionary divines is when we're getting to these high holy days. Now, every day is obviously a great day, and it's one that God imbues with his life and glory, and we can seek God in any day. Any text that the lectionary gives us obviously is something that we use as a portal to connect with God. But on the high holy, you know, seasons and days, like Palm Sunday coming into Easter, during the Advent season coming to Christmas, Pentecost, some of these days, they really try to scour the pages of Scripture to put together all these different passages in one place so that as we look at the Scripture text, we see that it all bears witness to Jesus, to his sacrifice, and to his resurrection, and also the one who is glorified in heaven, right? And so a lot of these passages kind of feel like stones from, you know, different parts of the Scripture story that bring a mosaic, right? And then when the light of Easter hits them, like it really does make our souls swell with delight because we know that God is speaking to us. And this is something that God has always been speaking. And so we get to a place like Isaiah 50, and on the surface and in its context, it really isn't pointed towards a future Christ figure. We do have this great scholarship now, people who've been combing over the way Christians have interpreted texts and non-Christians have interpreted the biblical text, especially the people of Israel. And we see that, like, there's just a couple different ways to view these passages. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's, like, we read the Bible in a Christian way. Now, it's just worth, like, always holding these things in a balance. How's it always been read? What was the intended reason that the author said it to his intended audience, right? And so we cherish that. We embrace that. We also cherish and embrace the ways in which Jesus brings new light on things. And this is something that the Apostle Paul does. He probably is the first Christian theologian, someone who is steeped in all of Israel's texts and the interpretive histories. And so we begin to see how he leverages the Bible in order to make the claims of Christ being the one chosen by God and the one who is exalted over all things. So we get to Isaiah 50. Isaiah is obviously trying to defend himself here. He's got some opponents, people who have not appreciated, nor have they cherished the things that he said, that you think he's wrong in his prophecies. And so here he's defending himself. And this is once again in the lens of servanthood, this idea of servant, the theme of service. And, you know, being a servant is something that's in a great portion of second Isaiah, the second portion of Isaiah. And so Isaiah is defending himself. But as we read these texts, like, don't we begin to kind of think about, like, how Jesus suffered and died on Calvary, right? We think of his accusers surrounding him. We think of the harsh treatment that he got. We think about them pulling at his beard in a torment of him, as it's mentioned here in verse 6. He says, I also offer my back to those who beat me, right? And so Jesus was obviously beaten and tortured as he was preparing to be put on a cross. We also see that verse 7, these promises brim up to the surface because of what we know of Jesus after his crucifixion. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I'll not be put to shame. And this makes us think about, you know, Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross and he scorned its shame, right? So even though Jesus knew the harm that was coming towards him, like he didn't flinch. Like he, vivid image here in the Hebrew, he set his face like flint. Like, I know that I'm going to be struck, but I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to brace myself. Like, I'm going to take it head on. And then I just love how verse 8 is translated in English. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? And that's what the resurrection is. It's vindication, right? Jesus goes to the tomb and he is deemed by the earthly authorities as someone who is accursed, right? Paul talks about this in Galatians. Cursed is the one who hangs on the tree, right? He was deemed as a failed prophet, one who wasn't accurate in his predictions about tearing down the temple and rebuilding it in 3 days and all the other things that they were so upset that he said, right? So the resurrection is not just some neat miracle that God does, but it's an enthronement. It's a vindication. It brings us back to a place like Psalm 2, where God installs his Savior, his Messiah, upon Zion's hill, right? And he will have the inheritance of the nations, right? The reward of Jesus' sufferings is now he's the Lord over the whole world. He's Israel's Messiah, and because of that, he's the Lord of all the world. And so his resurrection, once again, isn't just a proof. It's like, oh, we prove against those who don't believe in miracles that God actually does miracles. It's not that. What it is a vindication. It's a message. It's a proclamation to the ends of the earth that Jesus is the enthroned one. And those who find themselves in him will overcome death, darkness, and the powers of the God of this age. And they'll be exalted, just like Jesus was exalted and enthroned on Resurrection Sunday. Those who are with him, Jesus will bring with him to his kingdom, where for ages upon ages, we will experience, we will enjoy the fullness of all the goodness that God showers upon the heavens and upon the earth. This prepares us for Easter. This is something that we got to hear when we get to Palm Sunday, as Jesus is going into Jerusalem and we know the conflict is going to happen. Jesus is in control. He's willing to suffer because he knows he'll be vindicated, because God will not allow his holy ones to be left to decay. He's going to raise them up. He's going to raise us up. We're going to be glorified with Jesus on that great day. With these things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, for in the sacrifice of Jesus, forgiveness is bestowed upon us, eternal life is given to us as a gift of grace. We also thank you that it sets an example. Thank you for the words of Paul, where he says he wants to join with Christ in his sufferings in order to obtain a resurrection. And so we also see Jesus's life as a model for us, that we serve, that we self-sacrifice for the good of many. And so God, this day we're going to go into schools, we're going to go into workplaces and communities, and much will be asked of people. And we just simply pray that you give us the courage and grace to be those who serve. Allow us to serve not just people that we're comfortable with, those whom we know well, but perhaps serve the strangers, serve someone who isn't like us, and like Jesus, someone who might be even at odds with us. May we carry the same mindset of Christ as we venture out into your world today. God, we think that we're getting closer and closer to Easter. We think that its message continues to ring out from the heavens to the ends of the earth. You've raised Jesus from the dead, and therefore you are recreating all things, including us. And so, God, we pray that we might be able to model that message, bear witness to it as we get closer and closer to Easter. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.